Hi, good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trip Tower. Here till 5. It's Monday morning. That means my dad will be calling in to tell a jokey time. And it's brought to you by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. And, yeah. All right. So, I happen to have an article here about the dreamy history of teen idol magazines. They were big business in the 70s and in the 80s. It says here from the 60s to the 90s, there were Super Teen, Tiger Beat, Bop, and 16 were the most popular ones. So we're talking about these. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about the Teen Idol magazines here, and then we're going to talk about like your favorite teen idols and who was your crush when you were, you know, when you were younger. 312-981-7200 if you want to join us. The editors at Super Teen had some ironclad rules about the profiles of teen idols featured in the pages each month. An actor or musician's bad behavior was never discussed. Long-term relationships were barely mentioned. Most importantly, there was a permanent ban on chest hair. If you had, if you have hairy chests, you'll see them with their shirts buttoned all the way up. Bob Chartoff, the magazine's creative director, told the New York Daily News in 1982. Facial hair was also verboten. When a reporter offered a hypothetical, say, Scott Baio grew a beard, Chartoff said that the Joni Loves Chachi star would effectively be excommunicated from the pages. Wow. They wanted everybody to look like they were 15, I guess, huh? No chest hair, no facial hair? Jeez. Super Teen, Tiger Beat, Bop 16, from the 60s to the 90s, these glossy primary-colored magazines that looked like the inside of a 13-year-old girl's locker sold hundreds of thousands of copies each month and provided gleefully superficial insight into the non-threatening sex symbols of their respective eras. Jason Bateman was photographed cradling a Teddy Ruxpin. Oh, I would love to see that picture. You know, it was really funny, Esmeralda, Will Arnett was on Conan, and every time he shows up on Conan, he brings a bunch of pictures of Jason Bateman when he was like a teen idol, and they show them just because it makes Jason Bateman crazy. So the last time he was on, he showed a bunch of like just the most ridiculous pictures. And Bateman was a teenager in the 80s too. So like late 80s, right? He would have been an idol right around the late 80s, mid to late 80s. And so that, you know, we know the fashion of that time period. And man, oh man. They had one picture of him. He had like, you know how they layered the yuppie kids in the 80s would layer their collared shirts.
Right.
There'd be like three different collars sticking out. I think he broke a record. Jason Bateman broke a record in one of these pictures for most shirts being worn by one teen. Let's see. Matt Dillon could be seen eating pizza like any normal person. Readers were often referred to in the second person to better help them visualize an innocent evening with their celebrity crush. Are you the kind of girl adorable? Adorable Tim Hutton is looking for? Tim Hutton. At times, the magazines anticipated the evolution of dimpled pinups into actual marquee stars like Tom Cruise and Michael J. Fox. Other times, there was a lot of ink spilled over the internal workings of Menudo. All of it meant to entice the demographic of 11 to 14-year-old girls, which some editors were rather blunt. The typical reader is shy, self-conscious, quiet, afraid of boys, not into dating. They're B students and not the prettiest ones in class. That's how they looked at their target audience. The idea of pandering to fans of clean-cut performers with breathless magazine prose can be traced back to Elvis Presley. In the late 50s, magazines like 16 went from printing song lyrics to relaying details on what it might be like to date the King, crooner Pat Boone, or actor Tab Hunter. When the Beatles arrived stateside in 1964, the ensuing pandemonium flowed into what was quickly becoming a subgenre of publishing teen idol worship. Charles Laufer took notice. A journalism and English teacher at Beverly Hills High School, Laufer thought a magazine devoted to teen interests would be a success. He launched Coaster, a regional publication for Long Beach locals in the 50s. It didn't succeed until he realized his mistake. Boys didn't want to sit down and read about their celebrity lifestyles, but girls did. Laufer renamed the magazine Teen and watched it grow into a hit before leaving to start Tiger Beat in 65. His timing was fortuitous. The Monkees were just beginning to explode in popularity, and Tiger Beat saw its circulation rise when it profiled the fun-loving group. Laufer sold Monkees fan club memberships, posters, and books before he sold Tiger Beat to the Harlequin Romance House in 1978, for over $12 million. In the 70s, it was John Travolta, Eric Estrada. In the 80s, it was Jack Wagner, Scott Baio, Rick Springfield. And Kirk Cameron, who was the ideal non-threatening sexuality that became the cover fixture. So there you go. So teen magazines. Esmeralda, did you ever go through a phase where you looked at teen magazines?
You know, I never did.
Yeah.
One, I didn't really have expendable income.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents, if I probably brought one of those up to, they'd be like, get away from me.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I never looked at the magazines. I mean, when I was 13 and up was, you know, computer and AOL. And
yeah.
So you could kind of track
right.
people through that.
Right. As opposed to getting a magazine.
Right.
I mean, in the 70s and I remember in the 70s, these things were huge. And in the 80s as well. But I got to tell you, if you get a chance to, I think the clip that I was talking about with Will Arnett, if you get a chance to try and find it, Esmeralda, where he shows these pictures from the teen magazines of Jason Bateman. very, very funny stuff. So, all right. Well, then that gets us into this. The question is, who were your teen crushes and who were some legendary teen idols from the past? And we'll talk about that. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 312-981-7200. Now, we all know everybody else's, you know, first big crushes, right? Dan, yours was Sarah Michelle Gellar.
That is correct, yes.
By the way, turned 40 this year. Turned 40 just last week.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, just turned 40. And Esmeralda, it was Leo, but particularly Romeo and Juliet and the Basketball Diaries.
Yes.
Was that the big one for you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I had big crushes on. I had crushes, and they're kind of useless at that point. But, like, you know, Paul McCartney.
Oh, yeah.
John Lennon.
Yeah.
Was kind of useless by then. One was dead. One
yeah.
was very much older.
And what about the Monkees? I know you love the Monkees.
Yeah, for
you?
Sure.
And but it was Michael Nesmith, right?
Mike Nesmith, yeah.
That's the unusual choice. Most people
right?
go with, most people go with Davey.
It was Mike. Then
Peter. And then Mickey? No.
He had kind of a weird face. There were moments that he was good looking, but for the most part, no. And then Davey, probably. And then Mickey, I guess, if I really had to
yeah.
put him in a lineup.
That's interesting that you would put Nesmith and Tork over Davey.
Right. Well, because I think I'm attracted more to the unconventional. And because, well, they all played instruments, didn't they? Although Davey just kind of danced around.
Yeah, well, I mean, but the clearly the most talented musician and songwriter out of that group is Michael Nesmith.
Right.
I mean, it's
any of that hat.
It,
that little ski cap was adorable.
Right. Yeah, no, but it was, you know, I mean, history has shown that Michael Nesmith is, without question, the most talented
right.
of all the Monkees.
He's the one that kind of came out
yeah.
a little better.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, all right, well, we're talking about your first teenage crush and favorite teen idols. And did you ever have those magazines if you were a teenage girl back in the 70s or the 80s or whatever? Did you ever have a collection of the Teen Beat or the 16 or Tiger Beat or, you know, that kind of stuff? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Yeah. Hi. Morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And how are you? We're here till 5. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Monday morning, my dad will be calling in to tell a joke, brought to you by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. Right now, though, we're talking about teen idols, your favorite teen idols, some celebrity crushes that you had when you were younger. Did you ever have those Tiger Beat or Teen Beat or 16 magazines? 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And we got some texts here. Jay in Ohio says, when I was a younger teenager, I had a crush on Diane Carroll. She starred in the TV show Julia. Yes, I remember Diane Carroll. Keith in Kansas says, I remember my first celebrity crush. It was like it was yesterday. I was 5 years old, and I was smitten with Elizabeth Montgomery. Yes, Bewitched. That's right. Yeah, I've mentioned this before. My first crushes, my very first celebrity crushes that I remember were Hayley Mills, Yvonne Craig, who played Batgirl, Hayley Mills from The Parent Trap, and Barbara Feldon, who was Agent 99 on Get Smart. So that shows you my age. That gives you my age at that point. But those were the first three that I remember going, oh, I like them. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Here's Karen on WGN. Hi, Karen.
Morning, Nick. How are you?
All right.
Oh, my favorite Tiger Beat magazine was Don Osmond and then Tony DeFranco. And it was awesome when they threw in the extra posters, so you'd have to go buy three or four so you could cover your room with all the posters that they provided.
So you used to get those magazines then?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You do extra chores just so you could get those.
Wow.
Do an extra load of laundry, fold it, do some dishes, whatever, because you had to have them.
So yeah, who were your favorites on your wall?
Well, I mean, Donnie and I were supposed to be married. I don't know why he chose Debbie instead, but yeah, Donnie Osmond, and then Tony DeFranco came along. And
oh yeah,
Tony was just a dream.
Yeah, Tony DeFranco and the DeFranco family.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So Donnie Osmond. That he was a big one. Donnie Osmond was a big one as well. Yeah. God. So did you keep any of these magazines, or are they all long gone?
I probably have them stored someplace. You know, married, three children, so I'm sure they're in some trunk of memorabilia.
Yeah.
But yeah, those, you treasured those, and you never really read them because you would buy one to save, and then you would, you know, if you could save up the extra money and get the one to read, that was great because you knew that you just wanted to stare at that cover.
Yeah, that's great. All right, Karen, have a great morning.
Hey, you too. Thank you so much.
Bye. Take care. Thank you.
Bye.
There you go, Esmeralda. That is a dedicated Teen Beat fan who would do extra chores so that she could get two or three copies of her favorite magazine. And she's very disappointed that Donny Osmond didn't marry her. It was very upsetting. Interesting. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Who were some of your crushes? Now, Dan, we do have a what your 90s celebrity crush says about you.
Yes.
So Sarah Michelle Gellar is on here. So we're going to do a little analysis of Dan Shagrew. Okay, Dan, you ready?
Should I lay on a couch?
No, I think we're all right. Nobody was better than Sarah Michelle Gellar at playing the girl with a secret, a high school kid who's also a slayer, a wealthy socialite with the cruelest of intentions, and someone who knew something about what someone did last summer. So therefore, Dan, you're drawn to people who are hiding something underneath. See that?
I could buy that for 15-year-old me.
Yeah?
I could see that.
Yeah? Okay. All right. Esmeralda, Leo's on here.
Oh, boy.
Leo DiCaprio was the pumpkin spice latte of the 90s teen idols. Sure, PSLs are delicious, but everybody thinks they're delicious. So that means, Esmeralda, it says here that you need to branch out a little.
Oh. I mean, I had my weird ones.
Yeah.
I had a big crush, and I still kind of do. I have a crush on Conan O'Brien.
Oh, do you really?
Again, like those kind of offbeat ones where the, yeah.
Well, he's also very funny. I mean, I think that, you know, that probably has something to do with it, right?
Oh, for sure.
You know?
For sure.
Humor will go far. Humor will go a long way, I think.
It, yeah, no, it's ridiculous. It's kind of like a nice suit. Like someone not so good looking in a nice suit. So I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
You're looking a little bit better than before.
Right, right. Now, if you had a crush on John Stamos, did you ever like John Stamos as real?
Not really, because I remember he had that kind of mullety hair.
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't digging it.
It says, if the frontman for Jesse and the Rippers was your first celebrity crush, was that the band he was in the show?
Yes.
He was probably old enough to literally be your uncle, but that doesn't mean you're an old soul. Uncle Jesse was the epitome of young at heart. That seems a little creepy, right? Wow. Jessica Alba, if you had a crush on Jessica Alba in the 90s, along with Sarah Michelle, she also championed that movement of 90s hotties who could totally beat the crap out of you. Your crush reveals a healthy ability to see beauty in many ways, looks, brains, and swift helicopter kicks to the face.
Oh, that's right. What was that show she was on?
What the hell was it called?
Dark Angel.
Dark Angel,
that's
yeah.
That's right. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah. I completely forgot about it, too. Didn't James Cameron have something to do with that show? Didn't he, like, produce it or something?
Yes, I want to say that's correct.
Because all I was thinking of was Honey, where she was that dancer.
Yeah, well, Sin City, though. That's the one that pops into my head.
Yeah, but that's before or after, right?
Yeah.
That's way later.
Yeah, well, Honey was in, like, 2003.
Okay.
Because I remember we were running Here Comes a Regular at the Stage Left Theater in Wrigleyville. And the parking lot next door, there was like the building that we were in, they would plaster posters all over the wall. And we would, all the guys, because it was just, there was like six guys and it was me and five other guys in the show. So it was all male cast. And every time we'd park the car and we'd see the posters, they put posters up for Honey. We would stand outside and look at the poster for 15 minutes before we went in.
Did she start talking to you at one point?
She did.
Nick.
Hi. See, my problem with Jessica Alba is she's the worst actress on the planet. That's the problem.
Yeah, she's never seen anything that I liked.
My gosh.
Except, I guess, Sin City, but that's not even...
No,
she's barely
acting,
in it.
Yeah, no, but like... Did you see you didn't see the Japanese, the remake of the Japanese horror movie, The Eye?
No.
Oh, my God.
I saw the trailer.
One of the worst performances I've ever seen. She's a terrible actress. She's a terrible actress. So, all right, we got a break here. We got the news coming up next. And then, who were your celebrity crushes? We got a bunch of texts coming in. 312-981-7200. Did you buy the Tiger Beats of your era? Well, we'll find out right after we take a break for the news, which is next. Hi, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue. It's Monday morning. That means my dad will call in and tell a joke. And it's sponsored by the greatest restaurant on the planet, the Gale Street Inn. All righty, then. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. We're talking about those famous teen magazines like Tiger Beat, and 16 and Bop and all those other ones. Did you read those? Who was your first big celebrity crush? We're talking about great teen idols of the past and present. 312-981-7200. If you would like to join us. Here's Trucker Jeff on WGN. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how are you?
All right.
Hey, do you remember in the 70s, of course, Christy McNichol?
Christy McNichol, huge crush on her. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then if you're a guy, of course, you had to know what kids looked like without their makeup, so you bought the leg of Circus magazine or Dick Parader.
Sure, Circus, yep. Yeah, I remember those. Those were the hard rock magazines that you would read.
Yeah, but that was the big thing in the 70s, what kids looked like without their makeup.
Yeah, yeah. Kissed without the makeup. All right, thank you, Jeff. Yeah, Christy McNichol, by the way, was a big crush for people around my age. And, in fact, Jen Bosworth's husband, Miles. Hi, Miles. Also chose Christy McNichol. And Nancy McCutcheon were crushes for him. He says he's surprised no one's mentioned Leif Garrett. Yeah, I think that people will, you know, like a lot of the ladies who grew up in the around the 70s loved the old Leif Garrett. Yeah. Leif Garrett, let's see, was born in 1961. It says, thanks to a modest acting career and a handful of tunes, Garrett was on top of the world in 1979 when his public and personal lives were effectively derailed by a car accident that paralyzed his best friend. Decades of drug problems and arrests followed, squelching multiple comeback attempts and culminating in a stint on VH1's Celebrity Rehab in 2010. Today, Garrett is seemingly doing much better. He's a reality TV fixture, releases the occasional punk single, and even tours. Of his former life as a Teen Beat pinup, he says, whatever it is, it's very flattering, and I feel privileged to have gone through it, even with the downsides. Esmeralda, I'm assuming you saw the Leif Garrett Behind the Music.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. Yeah. Emotional.
Yep. Yep. Did you watch Dr. Drew's Celebrity Rehab? I watched it.
Oh, yeah.
I watched it religiously. And Leif Garrett was pretty much the staple. So, yeah, but the Behind the Music, the Leif Garrett Behind the Music is one of those classic episodes of that show where the guy that was in the car with him, he actually sees him for the first, remember, they like mm-hmm. reunite.
Yeah, in that park.
Yep. Oh, man. 920 area code says, my crush since childhood was Anne Margaret. Yeah, well, who can argue with that? Yeah. Put on Viva Las Vegas and then talk to me about Anne Margaret. Good Lord. Steven Oakbrook says, my crush was Ursula Andress thanks to my dad's Playboy magazines. Okay. 214 area code, Alyssa Milano all day, they say. You remember she was Arnold's daughter in Commando? Do you remember that, Dan? That she was Arnold's daughter in Commando?
I did not see Commando.
Oh, you haven't seen Commando? Wow. One of Arnold's craziest, goofiest movies. And Alyssa Milano plays his daughter. She gets kidnapped, so he goes nuts, just starts killing everybody until he gets Alyssa Milano back. It's funny because the first, like, 5 minutes of the movie during the credit sequence is, like, Arnold going, ha, 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 and, like, tossing her in the air, you know, and catching her. And then they're, like, eating ice cream cones and being all cute. Ha, 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 you're my daughter. And then they kidnap Alyssa Milano. That's a mistake, man. You do not kidnap Alyssa Milano, Schwarzenegger's daughter. You don't do that. Dan, I can't believe you haven't seen Commando. It's kind of legendary. It's got some of the best. It's got some of the best one-liners, Schwarzenegger one-liners. Like at one point he's got David Patrick Kelly, who's a legendary actor. He's holding him by his ankle over a cliff. Like he's holding him because he's, you know, superhuman strength. So he's holding this guy by his ankle, one arm, holding him over a cliff. And then he says, like, do you remember when I told you that I would kill you last? Yeah, I lied. And then he opens up his hand. He goes flying down the cliff and dies. And then he goes back, and the other character says, well, what happened to Davis? I let him go.
That is fantastic.
It's the best. Esmeralda, have you seen Commando?
No.
Oh, it's just so damned entertaining. And there, I'm telling you, 8 billion gunshots in that movie. Like, it's ridiculous. Everything blows up, and there are 45 million bullets. This is a ridiculous movie. But there's Alyssa Milano. Paxton says Olivia Hussey from 1968's Romeo and Juliet. 815 area code said, I so wanted to be marooned on the Blue Lagoon with Brooke. Aw. Brooke Shields, by the way, still stunning to this day. I think she's even more beautiful now than she was when she was younger. 815 area code, Robbie Benson. Well, we'll hear more about that in a little bit when the president of the Robbie Benson fan club shows up in the traffic department. 708 area code, Farrah Fawcett and that killer poster from the late 70s. She was smoking hot. You know, the Farrah Fawcett thing didn't do it for me. You know who did, though, was Cheryl Teagues. Cheryl Teagues was the one out of that time period. You know, like with the poster, the hot model posters. Cheryl Teagues was the one where I was like, ooh.
By the way, have you seen her lately?
No.
She looks crazy good.
Yeah? She's beautiful, man. I liked her, and then Cheryl Ladd I enjoyed as well on the old Charlie's Angels. Who else was on the Charlie's? Shelley Hack. She was an angel at one point, right? Obviously, Jacqueline Smith, Kate Jackson. Tanya. Oh, what's her name? Tanya. She was in the Beastmaster. Tanya Roberts. Tanya Roberts. She was another one of the angels. Russ says, Nick, I was in love with Catherine Bach from the Dukes of Hazzard. Had to be those shorts. Nora says, I loved Bop magazine in the 90s and begged my parents to take me to Walgreens to get the latest copy each month. My 90s teen crush was Jonathan Brandis of the movie Sidekicks and Ladybugs. He was on the TV show Sequest.
He's too squeaky clean.
Brandis was all over Bop magazine. You remember Jonathan Brandis?
Yeah, no, completely. But he was just too, I don't know.
Here's what they say about him. Jonathan Brandis, according to Time magazine, Time.com, Esmeralda, is one of the top 10 teen idols. His era of stardom was brief, but for those born in the 80s, highly influential. The blonde-haired, baby-faced actor had a string of minor hits, including Neverending Story 2 and Ladybug with Rodney Dangerfield, and also Sequest. However, his regular appearances in teen magazines cemented his status as a junior high locker pinup from 89 to 96. Wonder what he's up to now.
I'll look it up. I know we got a break here, but my wife has a 90s crush that's on that What Your 90s Crush Reveals About You list, so we can do that after the break.
Okay.
She wants to know.
Okay. We have to analyze everybody involved. I didn't have any 90s crushes. Although Stamos, maybe. I was more of a Coulier guy.
You and Alanis.
Yes, I was going to say, especially after that Alanis song came out. It was very revealing. Oh, man. Hi, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I'm your overnight dude here every weekday morning, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We're talking about teen idols, your favorite when you were growing up, and, you know, teen magazines like Tiger Beat and Bop and 16. 312-981-7200. A bunch of texts came in. We got some phone calls. Let's quickly go to LJ on WGN. Go ahead, LJ.
Hey, what's going on, Nick?
Hey.
Yeah, I got three of them for you. All brunette, girl next door, really wholesome. You got Marianne on Gilligan's Island.
Yep.
Yeah, then you got the youngest of the Bradley girls, Petticoat Junction, I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it was Billy Joe, Betty Joe, and Bobby Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of those Joes. And then the last one was Marlo Thomas as that girl.
Yeah. I had a little thing for Marlo Thomas, too. It falls into that, you know, did you like Barbara Feldon?
Well, she was age 99.
Yeah.
I don't know. She was a little older than the one, yeah.
She kind of falls into that category with Marlo Thomas, I think, the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right, LJ, thanks, man.
No problem.
See ya. 312-981-720. He brings up Marianne, that the eternal argument about who are you, Ginger or Marianne. I am a Marianne guy. Dan, Ginger or Marianne?
I'd probably lean towards Marianne.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it oscillates, though.
Esmeralda, who do you think is cooler, Ginger or Marianne?
Had to be Ginger.
Got to be Ginger, really?
She's got more stories.
Yeah.
She'd probably be fun to hang out with.
I was also a Blair guy on KRP. Bailey. I was a Bailey guy on KRP, not Jennifer. Now, here's the big one, though, Dan. This is the big one, Esmeralda, Dan, Britta, or Annie. That's That's like the hardest. That really, truly is
the hardest one
of all of them.
Are you talking to them?
Well, yeah. I love both Britta and Annie. I think both Britta and Annie are great.
Because Britta, I think at one point I'd be like, you need to stop talking.
I think Britta's hilarious. But they're both, I mean, come on. Both of them are incredibly hot. And I just watched all weekend. I watched Glow, so I'm in an Annie mood because I watched Glow. And by the way, Esmeralda, we hinted at this a little bit earlier. You get to see Annie's boobs,
yay,
in Glow. So I was like, oh, that, and I just didn't expect that. That was like the last thing I expected was Alison Brie to be nude, and I was like, well, that's a treat. this is just something I did not expect at all. So now, what were you going to say, Dan?
I was just going to agree with Esmeralda. I think if, you know, I was going out to have a few cocktails, I'd choose Britta. But long-term relationship, you'd have to go Annie.
You'd have to go Annie. But they're just so great. I love them both. Okay. So, Dan, you said that your wife, Eileen,
yes,
also a child of the 90s,
yes,
had a crush. And it's on this Let's Analyze Your Psyche.
Correct.
So who was her?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas, who should be next on your list.
Why did I know it was going to be Jonathan Taylor Thomas? Now, he was on the Home Improvement, correct?
Correct.
All right. Here's what is Eileen listening?
She is.
Okay. All right, Eileen. Here's what they say. Home Improvement may have been his breakout role, and Tom and Hook definitely accelerated some preteens into puberty. But we all know JTT's greatest role, young Simba in The Lion King. And then this is what it says. You're a child at heart, always believing in the little guy. Does that sound about right, Dan?
Yeah, you know. Esmeralda and I were talking about this off the air, and she's like, again, too squeaky clean. I'm probably a squeaky clean guy, so it all works out.
Yeah, although he's good looking now.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
Yeah.
Okay.
He, you know, he didn't grow weird.
Hey,
there's a lot of child stars who just, they grow up and you're like, oh, what happened?
Was it his weed that they found on Home Improvement?
No, it was his older brother's.
Oh, okay. That was a very special episode of Home Improvement where they find a bag of weed in the kid's room, and then Tim goes outside to talk to the guy with no face. Let's see. 708 area code. I had and still have a crush on Stevie Nicks. Well, why not? Laura from Schaumburg says, my teen crush was Donny Osmond. Glad to know his life did not spiral out of control during adulthood. I read Tiger Beat for 3 years straight. Donny Osmond, man. He was girls loved that guy and his teeth. Wow. All right. We got a break here. We've got news coming up, and then we'll come back and we'll talk more about teen idols and your first crushes and all that stuff. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. News is coming up next. Hi, everybody. Morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Steve Grzanich coming up at 5 o'clock with the opening bell and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Monday morning. That means my dad will be calling in to tell a joke, a jokey, jokey, jokey time. Brought to you by the Gale Street Inn. We thank George and everybody at the Gale Street Inn. Greatest restaurant on the planet. Check out galestreet.com. Right now, we're continuing to talk about our teen idols and your favorite like celebrity crushes when you were younger and those classic magazines. Teen Beat and 16 and Bop and all those other ones, and talking about some of the classic teen idols from the past. And we're taking your calls and your texts as well. And we got some more texts here. I'm going to read those. And if you guys want to jump in with your thoughts, it's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Adam says, Danielle Fischel, she played Topanga on Boy Meets World. Dan, do you know this Topanga?
Yes, she was the. I was a little too old for that show, but for the men a few years younger than me, she was the.
Like the female lead?
Yeah, she was the female lead.
Is she in? Is she the girl who's on the new Girl Meets the
World?
Well,
eventually Topanga and I forget what the character's name they married, and oh. the daughter is the star.
Oh, the daughter is the star of the. Oh, yeah. Okay. I never watched Boy Meets World. Scott from Naperville says Valerie Bertinelli and Leather Tuscadero. Remember, Esmeralda couldn't answer the question about who played Leather Tuscadero. Susie Quattro.
If only this had been done a week before, you know.
Yeah, we could have talked about it. She would have known. Is her? Is do you get four Susies? Is that
no waiting?
Because her name is Susie Quattro, you get four of them. Jay says Haley Mills from The Trouble with Angels. Sally Field from Gidget, Karen Valentine from Room 222. That's a good one. Karen Valentine from Room 222. Adorable. That's a good one. Sally Field, too, from Gidget. And I like Sally Field from the I Can Fly, I'm a Nun. From The Flying Nun. I always thought that show was a little weird. Yeah, well, sure, because it's about a flying nun, so of course it's weird. But I always thought the... Alejandro, whatever his name was weird because he was like the love interest to a nun. He was like a swarthy Latino dude who she had a crush. I can't remember, but she's a nun, and she's not, you know. But here's Alejandro, whatever his last name is, from The Flying Nun. Steve says, I would alternate between Lola Falana, Joey Heatherton, Juliet Prowse, Rita Moreno, and other sexy dancing women of that era. They always seem to appear on either Mike Douglas' show or Merv Griffin's show. Yes, they did. 708 area code says, I was in love with Pat Priest from the Munsters. She was the one that didn't look like a Munster.
Oh, okay. The cousin.
Yeah. Who they referred to as the ugly one. Because, mm-hmm. you know. Now, two different actresses played that part. Pat Priest was one of them, and then there was, I think Pat Priest was the first, and then they had to replace her with someone else. 519 area code says Belinda Carlisle from the Go-Go's. I always liked Jane Wiedlin. She was my favorite Go-Go. Although I love all of them. 847 area code said my celebrity crush was Julie Newmar from the Batman series. I finally had a chance to meet her a few years ago. 815 says, I fell hard for Raquel Welch and then later in life after Grumpier Old Men. 847 area code says, my first crush was Tim Considine from the Mickey Mouse Club after school serial Spin and Marty. It was a very popular series when I was 7 or 8. Don't know that. 815 area code, Annette Funicello from the Mickey Mouse Club, of course.
Mm-hmm.
815 area code, Susan Day from the Partridge Family.
Right.
Yeah. Speaking of the Partridge Family, David Cassidy.
Oh, yeah, that was a big one.
Man, huge. People, hey, Mary is in the traffic area. David Cassidy for you?
Did you? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Of course, Bobby Sherman, David Cassidy, mm-hmm. Robbie Benson.
Yeah.
Christopher Atkins was another one.
Oh, Christopher Atkins from the Blue Lagoon.
Anyone with blonde curly hair was in for me, too.
Were you a Davy Jones fan?
Yeah, not so much. A little bit. He was pretty short.
Sean Cassidy?
No. No, that was later.
Okay.
Yeah, Sean Cassidy was too far up for me.
All right.
Leif Garrett, you guys mentioned him, too.
Yeah.
He was another one.
But he was everywhere.
And Michael Landon. Oh, Little House on the Prairie. Michael Landon.
Really?
Yes. Yes, and I thought that was kind of naughty of me to have a crush on this dad. You know, because here I was. I don't remember how old, you know.
Yeah.
13, 14, whatever. And
yeah.
Michael Landon. I always thought that Karen Gressel was not attractive enough for Michael Landon. I was jealous of her so much. I thought she's just not cute enough.
I will say this about Michael Landon. Fantastic head of hair.
Oh, the hair.
Head of hair.
And the body in Little House on the Prairie. Was like, come on. I go, who had a dad like that?
You know, on the old Johnny Carson reruns that they show on Antenna TV, Landon was a pretty regular guest on Johnny Carson's mm-hmm. show. And I had forgotten, because I was never a big Little House on the Prairie fan. I didn't Highway to Heaven. I didn't watch that either. But he was so funny when he would appear on Johnny Carson. Do you remember him on Carson, Mary?
I could never stay up that late.
Oh, okay.
No, my parents never would watch that.
He was so charming and so really, really funny.
Really?
Like, every one of his appearances on Carson were great. Really funny. And a fantastic head of hair. Did I mention that?
I think I started liking him on Bonanza.
Sure.
That's probably when it started, because my dad would watch Bonanza all the time.
With everybody else's favorite crush, Lauren Green.
Yes. Oh, and another one I have to say, David Soul, too.
Oh, boy. You liked...
From the Mod Squad.
You liked... No, that's Michael Cole.
Oh, Michael Cole. I'm sorry. I'm getting him mixed up.
David Soul is Hutch on Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah, and he was also on Here Come the Brides.
Yes, he was.
Yes.
Yeah, but Michael Cole is who you're thinking of.
Yes, Michael Cole.
Michael Cole, Peggy Lipton, and Charles, Clarence
Williams.
Williams
the
third.
The third, yes. Yeah. Always remember the third.
Peggy Lipton. You know who Peggy Lipton is, Emerald?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
She's what's-her-face's mom.
Rashida Jones.
Rashida Jones's mom. Yeah.
That's right.
She looks just like her. They look a lot alike.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. All right, let's see. Who else? You mentioned Bobby Darin. Did you mention Bobby Darin? No, you didn't mention Bobby Darin. Yeah, no.
No, Bobby Darin, no.
Okay.
He's too old for me.
All right.
Wasn't he?
All right, how about this one from the 80s? If you're a guy from the 80s, Molly Ringwald was probably a pretty big crush,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
16 Candles unleashed the awkward tomboy in all of us, and Ringwald's hidden talent in The Breakfast Club inspired thousands of girls to drop lipstick tubes down their shirts during a slumber party. Whenever a Molly Ringwald movie airs on TV, you'll know exactly where to find us, sitting on the couch with a bowl of popcorn, re-experiencing the highs and lows of our favorite teenage redhead. Claire? That's a fat girl's name. It's from The Breakfast Club.
Oh, okay.
That's what Judd Nelson says it.
I know.
Claire?
It just sounds funny coming from you.
No, I just think it's funny. Did a lot of teenage girls try the lipstick thing after seeing Breakfast Club?
I wonder if that was a thing.
Like the girls would, they said it was a thing at slumber parties. They'd get together and do the lipstick thing.
I guess. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not privy to slumber parties.
Slumber parties. 80s slumber parties.
Yeah, 80s slumber parties. Here's another one. Britney Spears Britney Spears used to be the ultimate pop princess. Her first album, Baby One More Time, debuted at number one on Billboard's pop charts. So did her next three, making Britney the first artist with four consecutive albums released at number one. She's been a naughty schoolgirl, a teenage Barbarella. When was she a teenage Barbarella?
In
one of her videos?
Yeah, it's the one about don't think I actually like you. Come on, Dan.
Peace with me.
No. This is before. And in the video, she's in space, and the guy and they have that like, yeah, I got this for you, and it's the jewel from the Titanic. She goes that thing that the old lady dropped at the end.
I don't.
No?
That's not Slave for You, is it? No, that's with the snake.
Man, it's killing me. What is that stupid song?
Somebody will know where she was the Barbarella. She was a snake charmer and a diamond-encrusted pinup. Britney Spears gave us her commercialized, test-marketed innocence, and we'll always be rooting for her.
It was what? Toxic.
Toxic.
No, well, that's the jewel-encrusted. She was a spy.
Oh.
Wasn't she a stewardess on that?
Well, she was a spy stewardess.
Oh, I don't know. How am I going to...
She was being a stewardess because she needed to get the bad guy.
Undercover.
Yes.
All right.
There's also Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. Wasn't that a big thing? Everyone was counting down until they were 18. Ugh. It's kind of weird.
That's very weird.
I think they got weird bubble heads.
When they hosted SNL back in the day, at the very end of the show, I don't know which one said it, but they're both out there saying their goodnights. Mm-hmm. One of them says, only 2 weeks and we become 18.
Oh, that's so gross.
It was so creepy.
That was so creepy because they don't look, they still don't look like adults.
No.
They look like small children.
No. What was, Dan, what was, didn't you say that Didn't you say the good Olsen when we were talking about Elizabeth Olsen the one time? You
said, yeah.
That movie stars the good Olsen.
All right.
Elizabeth Olsen, the talented one.
She looks like an adult, too. Yeah,
and she's younger than them.
It's crazy.
Yeah. She's good, though. Elizabeth Olsen, she's a tremendous actress. So, all right. We got a break here. We got weather. We got traffic. And my dad's going to call in and tell a jokey joke. And then we'll wrap up the old Teen Idol stuff.
Oops, I did it again, by the way.
That's what it was?
Yeah.
Okay. Oops, I did it again. Yeah. That's where she's Barbarella?
Yeah, she's a, you know, like an alien or something.
All right.
She's from space.
Okay. I trust you. Would you like to know how you would be analyzed if you had a crush on Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
No. Oh.
Do you like Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
He's better now. I didn't like that long hair he had when he was a kid.
When he was on The Third Rock?
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah, I hated him then.
Well, I mean, yeah, because that character was a bit annoying.
I hated him, and I remember going to see H2O. He's in Halloween H2O.
Oh, okay.
Halloween H2O, which, you know, brought Jamie Lee Curtis back. Great movie, by the way.
Oh, right. She's the
Yeah, she runs the headmaster
right.
at the
okay,
school.
I saw that one.
Great movie. But the opening scene is I used to call him the little bastard from Third Rock from the Sun.
Wow, it's quite a title.
I remember he's in the opening scene, mm-hmm. and he's got a hockey stick. And a woman is freaked out. The nurse from the original Halloween is freaked out to go into her house because she thinks someone's in there. So he goes in with his hockey stick to see if the coast is clear. He gets killed. And I remember, I think they actually, if I remember correctly, he's a hockey player.
Mm-hmm.
Michael buries an ice skate in his face.
Oh.
So.
Good looking guy, too.
So. I remember because, you know, like, he was on Third Rock at that time, mm-hmm. and I remember the audience, like, it was like a preview screening of it. It was at the Piper's Alley, and all of a sudden when he came on screen, people were like, oh God, there was audible, like,
wow.
Cause they just couldn't stand him. And so so, like, when he gets killed, when they bury the ice skate in his face, mm-hmm. people cheered. I just remember that specifically. But then years later, I love Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, no, he's real good looking now.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. Sure, it's cool to call JGL the man these days, but this was your first celebrity crush, which means we're going back to the Third Rock era Joe, who seemed to spend an entire decade in his awkward phase. You, however, saw beyond that awful hair, and just like another JGL classic, Angels in the Outfield, you decided that anything is possible and you're a true believer.
Mm.
He was in Angels in the Outfield?
Guess so.
Did he have that hair?
Probably.
Wow. He's the man now, though.
Yeah, no, he's real good looking.
Yeah, yeah. And he got to do all the coolest stuff in Inception. He really did, man. Right, Dan? I mean, Nolan gave him all the coolest stuff to do in that movie.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, amazing. You've seen Inception,
yeah.
right? So cool. Floating around and fighting guys and tying people up in cables. And
so cool.
See, he's amazing in that. Elevators.
He's going in and out of elevators. Pushing the button to go up.
It's so cool. He's got that insane fight scene in the hotel hallway,
mm-hmm.
where they're like the gravity is spinning around and they're flying. It's beautiful. And then he turns out to be Robin in that damn Batman movie.
All right.
So stupid. Oh. Yeah, that wasn't good. They say, so, wait a minute, Marlon Wayans?
Well, because, you know, they had the Wayans. Well, okay. No, he's because, you know, out of the Wayans. He is the good look because he's got the son, right? That's in stuff now.
No.
Oh no, that's not him.
No, that's Damon.
Damon.
Oh, then never mind.
Yeah. No, Marlon is the goofy one. He's from the Scary Movies.
Oh, what? Oh, I guess
he was in the movie about horse, about heroin.
Requiem for a Dream.
Requiem for a Dream.
About horse. Wow. Okay.
No, I mean horse as in heroin.
Real hip you are, Nick DiGilio.
Did you ever see
Riding the Dragon?
Did you ever see Requiem for a Dream?
Yeah, I have. I've seen it once, and that's all I need.
No. I've only seen it once, too.
I do not. Nope.
The last
right in here.
15 minutes of that movie almost killed me.
Whoa.
The last 15 minutes. I couldn't get up. Like, when it was over, I was, like, gagging. I'm not kidding. I was like, I could.
That movie still makes you a little, like, thinking about it.
You know, I can't even. And Ellen Burstyn is so incredible in that. Mm-hmm. Everybody's good in it.
Yeah.
But Ellen Burstyn is so incredible in that movie. She's one of my favorite actresses ever. I've only seen the damn thing once.
Yeah. No, I think that's all you can't even. I remember, like, it's very vivid in my mind.
Oh, no, I'm with you 100%. My girlfriend and I at the time, we were at the Landmark Century. We saw it at the Landmark. Mm-hmm. And when it was over, we seriously couldn't move. I had, like, my head between my knees. And I couldn't believe people were just getting up and, like, walking out of the theater. And
I'm
like,
Starbucks.
I can't even stand up right now. I was dry heaving. I was like, I got to get home.
Yeah, that was rough. But great. It was a great movie.
It is great. I had to go home and watch Ace Ventura immediately.
Nice palate cleanser.
Yeah. All right, Esmeralda, we'll see you tomorrow. 2 for Tuesday.
Yes.
Okay. See you then. All right, we'll be right back with the news.